Hi there, this is Darren Spoo, pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. We would invite you to join us in person Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 o'clock in downtown Tulsa, or check out our webpage at tulsafbc.org. God bless you, and have a great week. So I want to begin with a verse of scripture this morning. This is Proverbs 10:17, and Lauren's going to read this for us here in a moment, but I want you to hear this verse just in isolation. It says, "The one who follows instruction is on the path of life, but the one who rejects correction will be lost no matter how long they live." So the one who follows instruction, God's instruction, is on the path to life. That if we want this thing called wisdom, which we're talking about this summer, the ability to do the right thing at the right time for the right reasons, to be skillful in living, to be savvy in the way that we do our lives. If we want wisdom, what this verse says, Proverbs 10:17, that you can have all the wisdom in the world as long as you're teachable. If you're teachable, you can have as much wisdom as you possibly want. But if you're not going to be teachable, no matter how long you live or how much experience you accrue, you will feel lost for your whole life. This one characteristic, if we want wisdom, we must be teachable. A few weeks ago, I was traveling through South Texas, saw an unusual street name on my GPS. We were near there, so I kind of checked it out. So this is a real street sign. Evidently, somebody in the Lake Jackson City Council has a sense of humor. And at this particular intersection, the street has two names, this way and that way. And you think about just giving somebody directions. Well, how do I get to the convenience store? Well, you go down this way. Or you turn left and go that way, right? So you think about this. What do we do in life? Well, we come to these T's in the road all the time. And God says, "I want you to go this way." "Yeah, but God, I've always gone that way before." "I know you've always gone that way, but I want you to go this way." One who follows instruction will have all the wisdom that they want. "Well, God, I want to go that way. My instinct tells me that way is right." "No, I don't want you to listen to your instinct. I want you to listen to my instruction. I want you to go this way. Trust me enough." The one who follows instruction is on the path of life. If we can just be teachable, we can have all the wisdom in the world, all the wisdom that we want. So here's what we're going to talk about today concerning wisdom. Wisdom in regards to words, the words that we use. We live in a wordy world. We live in a wordy world where every week somebody, and sometimes it's us, gets in trouble for the things that we say. And we can have wisdom in terms of our words if we're just willing to be teachable. And in the book of Proverbs, there are so many passages about words. Can I give you my favorite proverbs on words? It says this. I believe this is in Proverbs 26. "The one who blesses his neighbor loudly in the morning, the neighbor will receive it as a curse." Isn't that true? You give somebody a loud greeting in the morning, you just want them to go away, right? So that's a little bit cute. It's a little bit funny. It's true. But there are so many other opportunities to learn wisdom and how we use our words from Proverbs. So I'm going to ask Lauren, one of our summer interns, to come to the platform. I'm going to ask her to read our passage for this morning out of Proverbs 10. And as she reads Proverbs 10:17 through 21, I'm going to ask you to stand with me out of respect for God's word.
This is Proverbs 10:17 through 21. "The one who follows instruction is on the path to life, but the one who rejects correction goes astray. The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. When there are many words, sin is unavoidable, but the one who controls his lips is prudent. The tongue of righteous is pure silver, the heart of the wicked is of little value. The lips of righteous feed many, but the fools die for lack of sense." Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your endless grace you bless your children with. Thank you for the hand to hold as we make our way through this life. I pray that as we continue to walk with you, we are able to be the hands, feet, and mouthpiece of you. Allow for the words we speak to be transparent with the people in our lives. Let no thought or word we say tear down one another. I pray your love and grace are felt overabundantly in every conversation we have. We love you. In your name, amen.
Thanks, Lauren. You may be seated. So there is a real medical condition called alien hand syndrome. It happens when a person is wounded in their occipital or parietal lobe. Now, when I first heard about this a dozen or so years ago, I thought this can't be true. But I've learned that truth doesn't always have to fit within my experience. So there is a diagnosable condition called alien hand syndrome that if there's a certain part of the brain that's damaged, one part of the body will work on its own independent of any conscious thought. Sometimes it's a leg, sometimes it's a foot. There's one recorded case in which a woman, her right arm would not cooperate with the rest of her body. Her right arm just kind of did what it wanted to do. And one day, she doesn't smoke, one day her right arm just picked up a cigarette, put it in her mouth, and started to light it. Okay. And she saw what she was doing with her left hand. She took the cigarette and threw it away, you know. This arm just kind of seemed to handle, to kind of go on its own. Now, I don't know if I really believe that or not. But I have experienced alien tongue syndrome before. Have you experienced that? Where you're talking and you go, who is saying these things? Why are these words coming out of my mouth and why can't I make it stop, right? So it's a challenge for all of us, no matter how long we live, to control, to have wisdom in what we say and the words that we use. And so Proverbs has a lot to offer about the way we use words, but there seems to be a concentration in a couple of places. And by the way, this is so important. Next week, we're going to pick up on wisdom concerning words again. This is one of the major themes of Proverbs, is how we use our words. So one of these packages of wisdom concerning words is here in Proverbs 10. So what I want to do is I want to do the message this morning in three parts, because verse 19 of Proverbs 10 talks about wisdom in creating our words. Wisdom in the words that we make. Then the next verse, verse 20, talks about wisdom in consuming words. And again, we're not creating them at that point. We're consuming words. We need some wisdom. And then the last verse just kind of gives this overarching principle. If we are going to use our words, if we are going to speak, here's a great overarching principle to remember. So let's start with wisdom concerning the words we create. When there are many words, sin is unavoidable. But the one who controls his lips is prudent. If you want wisdom on creating words, here it is. Use less of them. If you want to be wiser in the use of your words, use fewer words. We see this oftentimes in the scripture. Peter is with James and John. They go up to the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus, for just a few moments, is going to reveal to his disciples who he really is. And some of his heavenly glory comes through his earthly humanity. So he's transfigured there in front of their eyes. And with Jesus appear Elijah and Moses, which represent the best of the Old Testament, the prophets and the law. And Peter is overwhelmed as the presence of God is with them here on this mountain. And Peter does what Peter always does. He speaks up. And he says, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let's build shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one Elijah. Let's hang out here on this mountaintop. And a voice from heaven said, silence. Peter, close your mouth. This is my son. Blessed is the one who listens to him. So I wonder how many times when we really want to hear God's voice, we don't because we refuse to, pardon me, shut up and just listen. So before God, one of the best things we can do is let's just use fewer words. Maybe we would hear God more clearly. Ancient wisdom bears this out as well. Saint Benedict, who formed the Benedictine monks, he said this in his famous rule. He said, only speak when you can improve upon the silence. Only speak when you can improve upon the silence. And also modern wisdom bears this out as well. Recently in a leadership article, it was stated this statistic. I don't know if it's true or not, but I hope it's true. That good leaders listen 60% of the time. That of the time that they speak and the time that they they listen, that they will only speak 40% of the time, but they will listen 60% of the time. They are actively listening. That makes us rethink leadership. Leadership isn't having all the answers. Maybe leadership is understanding what the questions are. And so just very simple wisdom here. If you want to be wise in using your words, you know what? I feel about our words like I feel about possessions. We could probably give away 50% of our stuff and never miss a thing. We could probably say 50% less words, and we would probably be better off for it, right? We know this intuitively about other people, that if you know somebody in your life and they talk all the time, you listen to them less. If you know somebody in life and they're talking all the time, you know that they're more concerned about themselves than they are about you. And so just a simple piece of wisdom, use fewer words. And I often use this story, but I really like it. Emmitt Smith, running back for the Dallas Cowboys. In his early career, when he was in college, he could be handed the ball, he could make yards, and he would make all these moves to look really good while he was making yards. He says, as I grew older, my body lost some of its flexibility and elasticity, and I couldn't make all those fancy moves. I could still make the yards, but I only used the moves that were necessary. So he began to practice an economy of movement. And I wonder if we practice an economy of words. So I've said, hey, Proverbs covers a lot on words. Let me give you some references here. This is when Proverbs says, here's a great time to keep your mouth closed. Okay? Proverbs 14:17, when you're angry. When you're angry, use that as a trigger. Now's the time for me to keep my mouth shut. When you don't have all the facts, Proverbs 18:13. When you've only heard one side of the story, it might be better to wait to speak until you've heard other sides of the story as well. When you know you will be ashamed of it later, Proverbs 8:8. When you have that nudge that I'm going to regret saying this later, practice some self-control. And I want to say, shut your yapper. Is that okay to say in church? Yeah, I don't know where I picked that up. Shut your yapper. Yeah. Oh, here's a good one. Proverbs 14:10. When the issue is none of your business, which that probably right there would cut down on 50% of our words in and of itself. When you should be working instead, Proverbs 14:23. When you have real things you can accomplish, why are you talking when you can be acting, right? Those are good opportunities just to practice using less words. Are you willing to be teachable? Are you willing to go this way instead of that? Jean-Dominique Bobby was the publisher of Elle magazine for years and years. He had a life-altering stroke, and he was left with only the movement from the eyelid of his left eye. That's the only thing he could move. He could only blink his left eye. So in the last few months of his life, as he was there completely paralyzed, he wrote his memoirs. I wonder, how could you write your memoir when you can only blink your left eye? Well, his assistant sat by his bedside, and she would go through the alphabet, and he would blink when she got to the right letter. And he wrote his entire memoirs by blinking out words. Now, I've not read his memoir, but I really want to now, because every word was purchased at a price. If that's the way to die, don't you think that's also a pretty good way to live? That every one of our words has meaning, and maybe every one of our words could be counted as a prayer before God. So, where there are many words, sin is unavoidable. But the one who controls his tongue is wise and prudent, this way or that way. So that's the wisdom on creating words. Now, I also want us to take in some wisdom on consuming words, because again, we live in a very wordy world. Okay, a lot of words out there. So look at what verse 20 says. The tongue of the righteous is pure silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. So this is a Hebrew poetry, it uses parallelism. So there, the heart and the tongue are considered as equals. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So what this proverb teaches us is, and here's very important in remembering consuming words, not all words are created equal. Not all words should be valued equally. OK, Okay. Simple illustration here. I'm a coin collector. I'm a coin connoisseur. Because I've made that known, about once a month, somebody from this church will bring me a bag of coins. They want to know if they have something really good, right? So they'll bring me a bag of coins. And please, feel free to do that. I won't tell you what you have, but I'll keep it all. No, I'll tell you what you really have. Okay. So they'll bring me a bag of coins. And say somebody gives me a bag of 100 coins. I look for two things. First of all, I look for coins that I know have silver content. Because silver is worth more than copper or bronze or nickel, right? So I'll look for those coins of silver. And then I'll also look for the coins that have some historical value. Maybe that in and of themselves, the metal's not worth much, but it's when they were minted that gives them some intrinsic value. So out of 100 coins I'll receive, there might be two that are worth something. What this proverb says is, you need to weigh words like you would look for silver. Somebody might say 1,000 words, but there's only going to be certain words that you should hold as valuable. So here's a good exercise for you to say, who in my life, when they speak, I'm going to value what they say. A mentor, hopefully your spouse, a teacher, a grandparent, a parent. That when they say something, that they're not always right, they're not always 100% correct, but you know when they speak, they have your best interest in mind. That they're not out for selfish gain, they're actually out to benefit your life. Those are the words you want to weigh and value them like silver. Have those people, identify those people. Their words mean something, and they have weight in your life. Equally, you also need to decide what words are just junk. And not waste your time on them. I read a book earlier, last year, called The Coddling of the American Mind. And as far as I know, the writers are not Christians. Now, they may be, but it's not a Christian book. It's more of a secular book. And it talks about the weakness of our thinking in the Western world. So here's what the authors say. And you can contest this, but I find what they say very interesting. They say young men and young women are equally aggressive. We think just boys are aggressive, but boys are physically aggressive. Girls are verbally and relationally aggressive. Okay? So they're both equally aggressive, just in different ways. So here's what the authors do. They say, if some malevolent demon showed up in the United States and they wanted to destroy young men, what would they do? They would put a handgun into the hands of every adolescent boy in the United States. Because what they would do is they would start settling disputes by fighting. They would value gunplay, and a lot of people would end up dead. Now, if that same malevolent demon wanted to harm young women, what would that demon do? That demon would take an iPhone and load it with every social media app and give one to every young lady in the United States. Because that relational, that verbal aggression, and this is just reality. Since 2007, since the mass introduction of the iPhone, depression among teenage girls in particular has gone through the roof. Why? Because there's so many words coming into our life, and so many of them sting, so many of them hurt. And what young ladies have not learned yet, and hopefully they will learn, and hopefully all of us will learn, not all words should be valued the same. Don't give everyone the equal attention in your life. And so let's say sometime this week there's a celebrity or somebody of notoriety says a real boneheaded thing, okay? It will happen. Hopefully it won't be me. You know, I think that's part of it. Whenever we pile on to somebody who said something terrible, we're just glad that time it wasn't us, right? Here's some things to remember when somebody says something out there that's scandalous, okay? First of all, don't be surprised. Just don't be surprised. As followers of Jesus, we know the heart is wicked, and out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, when somebody says something scandalous in our society, don't be surprised, because we all have wicked hearts. We do. Don't be surprised. Don't be offended. Don't pretend like that you have never said the same thing. Don't hold somebody else to a higher standard than you, right? So don't be surprised. Don't be offended. And the third is really in line with that, being offended. Don't be self-righteous. Listen, I have said things that are racist. I have said things that are sexist. I have told jokes that have been off color. I confess that openly because I know everybody in this room has done the same thing. So hopefully, if not, I'm in big trouble right now. Come on. Don't be self-righteous. In fact, that's exactly what Ecclesiastes 7:21 says. Solomon, who wrote that, the same one who wrote Proverbs, he says, don't pay attention to every word people say, or you're going to hear your own servant cursing you, but you know you have said the same thing about other people. Don't be self-righteous. I think the best thing to do when somebody says something that's scandalous, and we might be prone to be offended or self-righteous, maybe we need to practice more grace. Or if we know somebody who's said something that they have said it to intentionally hurt, don't give them what they want. Don't pay attention. Learn to let it go. Not all words should be weighted equally. So then verse 21. 19 has to do with creating words. 20 has to do with consuming words. Verse 21 is just a big picture challenge and application, I think, here for all of us. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. So in the Hebrew, the lips of the righteous feed many. In the Hebrew, it literally says this: the lips of the righteous are like a pasture. In an agrarian culture, this made a whole lot more sense, and I think it still makes sense in Oklahoma. What does a pasture do? It feeds the livestock. It feeds the animals that live on that farm or on that ranch, right? It provides nourishment. It provides strength. This is what our words are meant to do. As we practice self-control instead of mindless conformity and just becoming a part of this wordy world, every single one of our words should provide nourishment and strength for others. So here's a good thought experiment. What words ought we say every single day? If our words are meant to nourish and strengthen, then I think we should be very intentional about words that we will use every single day. Try some of these. I love you. I love you. Now, if you have trouble just saying those words, and sometimes they can be a little campy because they're overused, they're used as a cliche, find your own way of saying I love you. And I've told you before, my code for saying I love you is I'm here to serve. I'm here to serve. Because I don't want my love to just be words. I want it to be actions as well, right? But learn in some way to tell other people in your life, I love you. And if you really can't force yourself to say those words, get over it. Really, life's too short to go through life and not let other people know that they're loved. Yeah. I love you. Other words, please and thank you. Now, these are more than just social niceties. When we say please and when we say thank you, what we're doing is we are acknowledging that we do not want to live a life of entitlement. We want to live a life of gratitude. And as I and others have often said, somebody who treats you nice but treats the waiter crummy is not a nice person. To say please and thank you every chance you get. To say these words, I forgive you. I forgive you. When other people hurt us, this is one of the last things we want to say. But you say those words. If we don't want to forgive other people, listen, we are sawing off the branch on which we are sitting. You say, well, somebody else doesn't deserve my forgiveness. You're right. And you didn't deserve Christ's forgiveness either. But forgiveness is not based on deservedness. We go this way and not that way. Here's another thing I think we all need to learn how to say. I forgive you. That's important. But also to say these words, please forgive me. Please forgive me. To admit that we have wronged, to admit when we are wrong, and to admit when even we are wrong before God. We need to say those words to Him. Please forgive me. Do you realize that on those words, eternity sits in the balance? That when we can ask for God's forgiveness, He promises, it's not a wonder, will He forgive us or not? It is promised that He will. But it's up to us to use those words of silver that are actually words of gold. Please forgive me. So in the 1970s, there was a songwriting duo, husband and wife, Bill and Taffy Danoff. In the 1970s, they were a part of a group called the Starland Vocal Band. Does that sound like the 70s or what? That was groovy. So they wrote this little song, right? And they thought, this can really be a big hit, but we want to find the right person to sing this song. And so they reached out to Johnny Cash. And through kind of an unlikely series of incidents, you know, Johnny Cash originally expressed some interest, but he had some other things going, and so that was a dead-end road. So they reached out to a man named John Denver to sing this song. Now, right now, some of you are going through your music catalog trying to figure out what song this is. I'm about to tell you. So the Danoffs wrote this song about a state, and they gave it to John Denver. It's called Country Roads. Take me home to the place I belong. You know, West Virginia, Mountain Mama, Country Roads, take me home. I think we're going to sing that as our invitation song today. Why not, right? So John Denver got the song and he said, yeah, this looks pretty promising. I tell you what, I'm doing a concert tomorrow night. Let me sing it in my concert tomorrow night and see how it goes. As soon as he sang it, he knew he had a hit, right? So here's what you don't know about Country Roads. Song about West Virginia. That the two people who wrote that song and the person who performed that song up to that point in their life, none of the three had ever been to West Virginia. None of them have ever been there themselves. They were singing about a place that they didn't know. So I've asked Jeff this morning, as we have our time of response, that we would sing a song that most everyone knows, Amazing Grace. But I want you to think about it in this way this morning. Is this a place that you've been before? Have you found home in Amazing Grace? Is it your home state, or are you singing it as a stranger, as an outsider? And during this time of singing to God and responding, I think one of the most powerful words that we could ever say to God, in light of what Jesus has done on the cross, in light of God keeping His promises to forgive us, is the word, yes. We say that word. And that's giving our whole life to God. Say, no matter what, I'm going this way and not that. I'm following You. The one who follows instruction is on the path to life. The one who follows Jesus is on the path to life. Would you stand with me? Let's pray together this morning. So God, we do live in a wordy world. And we just need wisdom. So this week, would You help us to be wise in the words that we create? And maybe by just using less of them. Sometimes less is more. Would You help us to be wise in the way we consume words? That not every word needs to be weighted the same. Help us to have those people that we listen to no matter what. And then maybe we have some people that we just don't pay any attention because the words that they are using are not worth consuming. And that way, helping us to guard our hearts. But overall, God, would You give us the responsibility and the opportunity that every word we would say this week would strengthen other people. And maybe just in the way we talk, we could bring light to the world and truth to the world because of the one we follow. And help our word to You this week be yes, that we would always go this way instead of that, because You tell us it's the right and wise thing to do. We love You. We respond to You. And may we sing of Amazing Grace as if it's home for us. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of each worship service on Sunday morning, I offer a simple blessing, and I offer that blessing to you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you, and may God grant you peace. both now and forever. Amen.